Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here. We got a lot to cover coming off of Blue-White weekend. Coming to you, of course, from the Labatt Blue studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, Bleed Blue and White, Drink Blue and Light. A lot of that going on this past weekend. Beautiful day in Happy Valley for the Blue-White game. I got a chance to go up through the GoPSU RV lot, spent quite a bit of time there. And unlike the last time I was there, we had just awesome weather and a lot of people showed up. I know a lot of people listened to our show and went through and stayed for the weekend there. Mark had an awesome deal in store for them. Really lively. Got a chance to see the whole tailgate scene. I wish I could participate in it more, but I had actual stuff to do for the weekend. So we went there, came over then to Beaver Stadium a little bit early, got to see what the tailgate guys have in store. They have that little tent city set up really just inside the shadow of Beaver Stadium. Short walk to the stadium, did all the tailgate work for us, set up the tent, set up the chairs, the tables, and then the 409 tailgate club guys were there cooking. So really, I got fed about 40 times, it felt like, on Saturday. Still ended up being hungry at the end, but and at the GoPSU RV lot, I thought it was really awesome. They had I want to call it a shack, but they have a permanent structure set up for those guys to grill and smoke and do their thing and feed everybody. It was a really cool scene. I know you've heard us talk about this a whole bunch of times on the Keystone Kickoff Show, but to see it in action on an awesome spring day was really cool, and I think looking forward to it in the fall. You can check them out at GoPSURV.com. Just because it's not football season yet doesn't mean you shouldn't start planning ahead for football season. With that in mind, Greg, the weather, I thought, for Blue-White was as good as you could hope for.
Yes.
That weekend. And by the way, we're going to talk Blue-White. We're also going to hear from James Franklin, just like we did last week, the Franklin Speak segment. We got some good sound clips from him coming out of Blue-White game. But I think as far as the weather, it makes or breaks the day, right? So you can have all the festivities. You can have all the potential to see the freshmen and see the new faces and to get a feel for what the offense looks like and all that stuff, all the good stuff. But if it's 48 and rainy, it's going to be hard to get people there. But this, right. this was as good as you could get.
Yeah, it was Sunsplash Day, and I think a lot of people enjoyed it. They estimated 61,000 in attendance. I think it was probably half of that, and the other half were still out in the parking lot.
Well, so
it's impossible to
right around game time. I would definitely agree with that, but I thought it filled in really nice. I don't know about 61, but I didn't think it was a ridiculous exaggeration either.
Right.
I thought people wanted to hang and tailgate for a while, as they probably should. I wouldn't blame anybody if they didn't come into the stadium at all. But I think once around kickoff, a little bit after, there was a lot of people there.
There was, yeah. And they saw a good show. I mean, obviously, I just wonder how much longer it is until it's just drills and 7-on-7s and more like an actual practice as opposed to a game or a scrimmage. I mean, I think we're probably inching closer to that point. But at least for now, Penn State fans got to enjoy a very stacked team against a not-so-stacked team. But I thought the team, the white team, that had all the reserves and a lot of the backups and younger guys, I thought that group played pretty well. And I think James Franklin said as much after the game. He wished the blue team would have done a little bit more as the starters and expect the key contributors. So, look, it's just one practice. There's no reason to get bent out of shape about drops and offensive line run blocking and all
this
stuff.
Is there not a reason to, Greg?
Yeah, some days there is, some days there isn't. I don't think this is one of them. Ricky Ronnie seemed pretty pleased with how the spring went overall, so I think that's the takeaway more so than any, you know, trying to pinpoint stuff we saw on Saturday and stretching it out to, the whole spring as a whole.
Yeah, I think Franklin spoke to that effect too, that they're viewing this as they should, as just the culmination of an entire set of practices and what they've seen over 15 practices. But we, of course, we don't get to see a lot of what goes on behind the scenes. You do more than the average person, but so you only have Saturday to really base a lot of things off of. And it was worth bringing up the quarterback competition. We'll hear Franklin's own words a little bit later in the show, but really, Sean Clifford, I just took it away that he's done more than enough to put himself in that competition. This was not him taking reps with the first team and being out of place or those being charitable just because Tommy Stevens has been injured. I think Sean Clifford deserved those reps anyway, and I think it could end up being a blessing in disguise that he's gotten them all spring. I think Penn State – you know, we've had this discussion a bunch of times where if you don't have a starter, sometimes it feels like you have no quarterbacks.
Right.
I think they legitimately have two starting caliber quarterbacks. I wouldn't want to be James Franklin as you get into the competition this summer, assuming Tommy Stevens is 100% go, yeah. Which that seemed to have been the plan all spring. But Sean Clifford, you know, he looked exactly how we thought he would look, I think is safe to say, in the blue-white game.
Yeah.
He's got a good command, a good presence about him. I think he is the most natural, pure thrower of this group. I think I don't know about arm strength. You know, watching Will Levis chuck it 55 yards down the field to Dan Chisina, it puts him in that conversation. Tommy Stevens has a big arm. But Sean Clifford really has a way of making it look easy. And I understand that we haven't seen him in full extended action against Michigan or Ohio State or whoever else, but he just has a way about him.
Yeah, he really does. And I think, I don't know, the one thing that's tough for me, I guess there's two ways of looking at how things progress this spring. The first would be that James Franklin said back in February that they'd go into the spring with Tommy Stevens as the number one. And now, you know, James Franklin ended the spring by saying, we're going to have a true competition. They're not ready to name a starter yet, yada, yada, yada. But to me, I guess you can look at that and say, maybe Sean Clifford made up some ground. But on the other hand, it just feels like he made up no ground in terms of he was the one that did, you know, a bulk of the quarterbacking work this spring. Tommy Stevens was limited. It and got a little bit of work, but not a lot. And Will Levis was involved too, but Clifford seemed to do the majority of the work, and he's not being treated, I don't think, like the guy that did the majority of the work in the spring in terms of looking ahead to that, you know, the ultimate decision Franklin will have to make as to who's going to replace Trace McSorley. So, I do think that you know, there will be a chance for Clifford to compete, but at the end of the day, I thought going into spring practice, it was Tommy Stevens' job to lose, and that Sean Clifford would have to blow you away to win the job, and I still think that's the case.
I think a big part of it is trust and experience and being able to trust Sean Clifford. It just seems like they came out of the spring feeling like they got confirmation that they could trust Sean Clifford in that role, having seen that type of extended time with the first team offense. We'll see. I don't think anything was going to be cut and dry coming out of the spring, but I know for me, I wasn't giving Clifford much of a fair shake in recent weeks, but then to hear, I know Franklin generalized it and said there's competition everywhere. We're not settling any competition until the summer, but it had a different feel to it.
Right.
When he's talking about the quarterbacks, we'll have that exact quote in a little while. No Kane was the other storyline. What did you make of what you saw from him? Not just that he had some success, but that he was doing it against mostly first team guys on the other side with mostly second and third team offensive linemen in front of him. I thought that part of it was impressive.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, I think we heard Jaywon Sider rave about Noah Kane earlier in the year. And James Franklin was, I think, right to sort of slow down the hype train a little bit while also noting all the things that Noah Kane did well. Penn State, you know, one of my biggest takeaways from this game is that, and this spring, is that Penn State has had a hammer number one back the last 2 years, and well, last three, you know, a couple years, and Saquon Barkley and then Miles Sanders. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case this year. And it's not to say one of these guys can't be the feature back and the one that gets 70% of the carries, but I just don't think Penn State wants to do that. And Noah Kane stepping up is a big reason why.
Yeah, I think you know, when you hear Jaywon Sider a couple weeks ago talk about that Noah Kane's going to play. Without us having seen him in a college jersey and get to experience a little bit of what Sider sees for him in the on the practice field, in the meeting rooms and that kind of thing. You weren't sure if he would be a factor or not.
Right.
And now I get that it was just the spring game, but he looks like he deserves his share of carries. And I do think we've been talking about it for a while. I do think that it doesn't make sense with this running back group to let anybody dominate snaps, that let anybody dominate the workload. I think each of these guys deserves a fair shake. I think you're going to see Ricky Slade be your 1A and get a small majority of the carries. But I think Journey Brown, just based off what we didn't see much from Journey, and that was one of Franklin's gripes in the spring game, is that the first team offense didn't run it as well as he would have hoped. But I wouldn't disregard that, but I wouldn't put too much into that either. Journey Brown's going to get his share, and now Noah Kane, based on what he showed on Saturday, but also based on his style and how it's complementary to those guys, I don't see him redshirting at all.
No, definitely not. And I think, to go back to Journey Brown in the offense, one thing that jumps out to me, and I don't think we have this quote later, but James Franklin just keeps saying that they're going to play three guards, and I don't understand why that is. I mean, he's mentioned multiple.
Or how.
Yeah,
or
well, they can't obviously all play at the same time.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. They've talked for a couple of years now about, taking the next step and having an offensive line with a mean mentality and all this kind of stuff. And a part of that problem has definitely always been that, there's not consistency in terms of their five guys. They struggle either because of injury or performance to find and stick with five guys. So now they're going into this season embracing the fact that they're going to need to play six. And I don't think they should be. I think they have to pick one of CJ Thorpe and Mike Miranda, and he needs to take over, and one of those needs to take over and be the guy. I mean, and there's a reason in my mind that you don't see a lot of teams try and play six and seven offensive line. I mean, he even mentioned at one point, I have to think he misspoke, that, they might play another tackle too. It's like, why? And which one's ready? Is it Wigan? Not based on what I saw Saturday. Is it Des Holmes? Not based on what we saw Saturday. So I don't know about that, but yeah, to play both guards there to replace Connor McGovern, I just don't know if I see that being a successful formula for Penn State in 2019.
It's an interesting thing, because saying you're going to play six does have that cop-out feel to it.
Yeah.
Like you're not ready to – but if you have two guys who are fully capable of playing, which I think CJ Thorpe and Mike Miranda both are, you do have incentive to give that backup a little bit bigger role than just wait until Miranda gets injured kind of thing. So
right.
I think it makes sense to sprinkle them in there. And I think the competition, just like you saw at tackle last season, the competition lingers in to the regular season. Whether that's a good or a bad thing, I couldn't really say. But for Thorpe and Miranda both to get reps and let the kind of actual game film sort it all out, I think that's just where we're at now. I don't know if that's going to continue or not, but
sure.
I think through the summer and into the fall. We got more blue-white talk coming. We're going to take a quick break and come back with some of the other things we saw, especially on the defensive side of the ball, coming up after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.